Lord, we just come before you again, Lord, just thanking you that you allowed us to come here this morning, Lord, and there's no one here this morning that is here by mistake, that you have brought them here, Lord, to be in your presence, Lord, to worship you, Lord. Lord, and we thank you. We thank you for all that you have done for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, if y'all don't watch out, we liable to have church up in this place. Come on now. Man, God is good. And all the time. He is. I tell you, we need to worship him. Yeah. We need to worship him. Children's Chapel being dismissed. Yeah. Y'all got one more, Miss Retha, coming from upstairs. Brother Bill. Brother, oh, you got her? Okay. Our God will never fail. Man, he is always here for us. And, you know, I think sometimes in our life we get to the point where we get just null to what God is doing, that we just look and we just are living life and we're just doing things in our life day by day, and I think we kind of forget what God is truly doing. That we miss in our life the miracles, the wonderful works that God is doing within our lives. We need to slow down and we need to look. That's what we always talked in seminary, some of the spiritual disciplines that they talked about. Some was journaling. And journaling is you get to see what God is doing. Because me, I can't remember what I did yesterday or the day before that. But when we journal and you sit there and you read what God has done that day, or maybe a prayer request or a prayer that you had prayed, and it's allowed to be a month, 2 months, 3 months down the road, and you just go flipping through there, and you go reading, and you read that prayer. You said, man, God did that. He answered that prayer. Man, and sometimes we just forget, and it's like, well, yeah, you know, I forgot I even prayed about that. You know who didn't forget that you prayed about that? God. He didn't forget. He is always here for us, and our God never forgets our prayers, our calls to him. He remembers them things. There is one thing that he has forgotten. Our past, our sin. God has removed our sin as far as the east is from the West. If we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are washed in the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. And we no longer have to worry about that past. Some people, they'll say, well, remember when you did this? And God says, remember what? Because this world likes to bring up our past. But our Heavenly Father does not bring up our past. He has forgiven us. Folks, and that is something that we need to, or how we need to worship him. And that is part of this message, you know, that we have, which is called grace. No other gospel, but grace plus nothing. It is about grace that we are saved. Grace and grace alone, that God removed our sins. And as I've been telling people, and you know, and I kind of knew this, but I really didn't, I guess, put it in this way, that what was our grace? It was Jesus Christ. God sent him to this earth to live a perfect life and to pay for our sins on the cross of Calvary. That is the only reason Jesus came. Otherwise, he would have stayed in heaven with the Father. But the Father said there has to be a sacrifice for sins once and for all. And I can make that happen. I can send my Son to earth to live among them, to experience everything that they have experienced. And yes, Jesus has experienced everything that you have experienced in one way or another in His life. He knows how you feel. He knows what loss is. He knows what struggle is, where people are tempting Him. He knows how them things feel. So don't say, well, Jesus don't know how I feel. Jesus knows how you feel because He has been through it also. And that's something that we've got to understand, that He is not this distant God that does not know His people. Jesus knows you, and He knows you personally. He knows you in an intimate way. He knows every aspect about you. He knows every hair on your head. You know, He don't have to know Brother David as much as He does others, but He knows some. I'm sorry, Brother David. So I got you on that. But we, as God's people, He knows us. And do you think He cares about the hair on our head? Nope. You know what He cares about? Our heart. He cares about what's on the inside. And that's what grace does. Grace changes the heart. It changes the heart. He loves us so much. And when we recognize the grace that He has given us on the cross of Calvary, it makes us desire to love Him and to follow Him. Man, how can I not love Christ? Do you know what He did for me? He died on the cross. He took my penalty in what I deserved, where I should have been hanging on that cross, where I should have been put to death. Christ did that for me and took away my penalty for death. Man, is that a reason to worship Him? Man, we need to worship the Lord this morning. Let's give Him an amen. Oh, man, that sounded good, boy. And you know who heard that? God. And His amens and His praises He hears every day. Because He is God, and He is the King of kings, and He is the Lord of lords. And because we as Christians, those who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we should live consistently with the gospel truth. I would tell you something that drives me crazy, but I'm sure it drives the Lord crazier than it drives me, but He still loves you. But and we're going to get into this, but I'm just going to give a worldly example of a gospel truth, of a scriptural truth, that people live one way in here, then they, when they get outside, they live totally different. They live one way when they're around the preacher. Well, I can't talk like that. I can't act like that because I'm around the preacher. What do I have to do? I didn't save you. Don't bring me into your problems. Or they live one way at home and they live a different way at work. They live one way with their friends and they live another way, you know, whenever they're at church or whenever they're at home or whenever they're around the preacher or they're around a different group of friends. You know, you should be consistent. And that's what God has called us to be and grace has challenged us to be, is to be consistent in our life. Man, God gave His grace for me and you, so we should give back to Him. For our salvation? No, because of our salvation. It is not because we got to do that to stay saved or to be saved. We are saved by grace and grace alone. But God calls us, because of His grace, to live in a different way. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 2, starting in verse 11, Galatians chapter 2. So if you'll take God's Word, take your Bible, and you open that up. So go to 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians. So it's right after. Then you ain't got far to go because it's just chapter 2. So go to Galatians chapter 2. This is one of the books that Paul has written to the Galatian church. You know, and we know that we can go into the book of Acts. And what's in there? The Galatian church. And Paul was correcting one of his mentors. Woo! You think, man, Paul was brave. No, Paul stood up for the gospel. And if we see someone else, you know, in our life, and we can go to Galatians chapter 6, you know, at the beginning of that chapter, and we'll talk about that in a second, you know, about a brother falling or a sister falling into sin, that we are to help bring them back in bitterness and anger? No, in love. But let's go to chapter 2, starting in verse 11. Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, that's pretty strong, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came to James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with his hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Christ Jesus. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. But if, we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. And I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I shall live in the flesh, I shall live by faith in the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness come through the law, then Christ died in vain. Lord, we just thank you so much for this day that we were able to come out and to worship you, Lord. Just thank you for the reading of your word, Lord, how it convicts us, Lord, how it draws us closer to you and shows us in our life, Lord, of how we are to live, Lord. Lord, we just love you and thank you, and we just ask for your Holy Spirit, Lord, to do mighty things in the hearts and minds of ones here today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we see this problem that we have had in this passage, you know, the problem with hypocrisy, you know, and that's what we have, a big problem in today's world with hypocrisy, you know, that people want to say one thing but live another way. Well, I'm a Christian, but you don't look like, sometimes you're a third cousin to a Christian, the way you live your life. And that's not a judgment. That is backed up with facts from God's Word, because God's Word tells us how we are to live our lives. You know, we need to make sure that we are living by God's Word. Does that mean that we never make a mistake? No. Because we are sinners. But what happens? We recognize our mistake. We recognize that it is a sin, and we repent, and we turn to God for help. And that's something we need to do on a daily basis. And Peter, man, would you think Peter was a, you know, was an example or should have been an example for Paul? Man, Peter walked with Jesus on a daily basis. But we talked about Wednesday night, you know, in the youth about Peter. Did Peter have some troubles? Peter had some troubles, didn't he? Peter denied Christ 3 times, didn't he? Peter cut off the servant's ear, didn't he? Peter was walking to Jesus on the water, took his eyes off Jesus, and started to sink. You know, Peter was not perfect, and we can look through the book of Acts also and find other places, you know, that Peter had made mistakes, but guess what Peter did? He loved the Lord. He recognized his mistakes, and he repented, and he drew closer to the Lord. And that's what we are to do, you know, in our life. Peter's example here, or Paul's example of Peter here in Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, you know, his internal boldness, Peter or Paul's internal boldness to confront Peter on that. Because what was Peter doing? Peter was leading people away from Christ because of his lifestyle that he was living. Because he was eating with the Gentiles until some of his buddies showed up. Y'all ever seen this in school or at work or something like this? You see people that they want to, like, hey, Nemo, how are you doing, man? How are you doing? And then Jovan shows up. Hey, Jovan, how are you doing? No, I wasn't over there talking to him, man. You know, I'm doing good. Y'all ain't never seen that, have you? Yeah. You know, and that's what Peter was doing. And he was saying, well, you know, I wouldn't, you know, I was just over there doing something else. You know, I'm not really a part of them people. You know, and we are to be one in Christ. Peter was doing the right thing by eating with the Gentiles because God told him to. When you go to the book of Acts, you know, when the blanket came down or the quilt came down or the sheet came down and it had all the animals on it, you know, and he told Peter to eat. And Peter says, Lord, I can't eat from that. You know, that is unclean and nothing unclean has ever entered my mouth. And the Lord says, eat. And he's sending to a Gentile to share the gospel. And he stayed with him. And what happened to that Gentile? He was saved. And who else? His whole household was saved. Man, and we see this example that God has showed Peter, you know, through his own vision that God had given him, that we are not two, but we are one. That we are only saved by grace. It has nothing to do with the law of circumcision or keeping the law, you know, the Sabbath or keeping these other laws, you know, that are in the Old Testament. It's not about them anymore because Christ came and fulfilled the law and he gave us where we live by grace under him. But grace, and we can look at this in the book of Romans another time, but grace is not an avenue to sin. It should keep us from sinning because of the love that Christ has given us. So he had this internal, Paul had this internal, you know, boldness in him to stand up for the gospel. Do we have an internal boldness inside of us to stand up for grace and grace alone, salvation? We should. I don't mean that we have to be ugly to people, that we have to go, you know, do something crazy to them, but man, confront people. Man, show me where it says in God's Word that there is any other way to be saved but by Jesus and Jesus alone in His grace. So what does Romans tell us? That we are saved by grace through faith. What's faith? Trust. What are we trusting in? Grace. I'm trusting in His grace to save me. That it's Jesus is the one who did the work, not I. Because I can't do the work. Because my work always falls short. And I don't want to fall short, but I'm just not able to stand up and to do the right thing. And someone else also said this. Paul said this. You know, I don't do what I want to do, and I do what I don't want to do, but by God's grace, He has saved me. Ain't that wonderful? That we can have that. You know that Paul, I'm going to get Peter and Paul mixed up. I can't get them mixed up because, boy, these are two different categories here, ain't it? What is Paul doing? He did not fear man. Sometimes we fear man. We fear, well, you know, that person, you know, they're up there a little bit. You know, they may be a pastor at this huge church, you know, and we can't say anything to them. I would think that Peter probably outranked Paul in, you know, seniority. You know, that Peter was probably up here where Paul was a little bit lower, you know, in sorority with the community, not with God, but with the community. You know, but Paul had the boldness, and he did not fear Peter because he was going to stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have to stand up for that gospel of Jesus Christ and what He has done for us on the cross, and because you can't add to what God did. He is the only way. And whenever we look at what has happened here between Paul and Peter, and we see the impact that it has on others, leading, or what Peter did, he was leading others astray. And I mentioned that earlier. You know, whenever we see people acting one way, and you know why we have a lot of problem with our churches today and why people ain't coming? Because people are hypocrites. Because people want to live one way in the world, and then they want to talk a different way at church. And they talk this way, oh, how good. You know, oh, come down here to church and all things. Man, it's so good, it's so great. And go out here to work, you cussing every other word, and you drinking, and you doing all these things that are against God's word, getting drunk and stuff, and saying, well, come over here to church with me. And things like, man, you ain't no better than I am. You know, why do I need that? Is that what God is about? I've already got that. We've got to stand out as different, don't we? We've got to be different than the world is around us. We got to look at what God's Word says and look how Christ lived in His life. And we got to stand out. Does that mean we can't hang around other people, lost people? No, I want you to hang around lost people. If the only thing you ever hang around is Christians, who are you going to lead to the Lord? But that don't mean you have to go in and do what they do. You don't have to live the same lifestyle that they live. But I want you to have some lost friends. If you ain't got no lost friends, you need to go find some and lead them to the Lord. By mouth, but also by what? Action. And that's what, you know, Peter was doing, is he was leading people astray because he would distance himself from the ones that he was ministering to and going over to the Jews and saying, well, I agree with y'all, but, you know, they can do what they want over there. No, that's not the gospel. The gospel is only one way. It's a danger of mixed messages. Does mixed messages ever work well for anybody? It doesn't, does it? You know, you really don't know what someone believes. Well, you told me this, and then you went back and told me that. You know, what are you saying? What is the truth? What's going on? Which one of these is the truth? Is the gospel grace the truth that Paul was preaching, or is the Jews by the law, is this correct? You're giving me mixed messages here. Which one is it? It is people get gets dangerous in giving people mixed messages in the gospel for sure, but in other aspects of our life also. We have to be consistent on what God has told us. Number two is, you know, the principle of truth. You know, this starts in Galatians chapter 6 or chapter 2, verse 16. You know, it's justification by faith. What's justification? We are justified at one time in history. Before God, the moment that we accept His grace and we say, God, thank you for what you have done for us. Lord, I put my trust in you for my salvation because of what you did on the cross of Calvary, because of your sacrifice. And we put our trust in Him. And we are justified. We are seen as right before the Father at that moment in time. Happens one time in your life. I've never seen it in God's Word where it's happened two times, where it's happened three times, where it's happened one and a half times. You know, we make it like that because I walked out whenever I was 8 years old and I was baptized over in the Ouachita River, you know, but it didn't do anything. Because walking the aisle and being baptized does not save you. If that was the case, it would be grace plus walking the aisle and baptism. And it's not. And then whenever I was 17 years old, I recognized it a long time before then, but I was a hard-headed kid. Hard-headed. So don't be getting on to these kids that are hard-headed so bad, because you know what? One day, and probably still today, you hard-headed too. Riley. Abby. Hard-headed. Abby gets the best of that boy. It is so, I mean, Reagan, Abby does too. Reagan, or, Lord, see, hey, I called your name out, Reagan. Reagan got mad at me because I wouldn't call her name out. I was just using Haley and Abby. So she gets to that boy. Haley gets to that boy. I said, well, that is Riley raising Riley right there. Huh? But but we see that we are justified by faith in Jesus Christ because of what He has done. It's not by works of the law. I can't be good enough to be saved. I can't go back to Exodus and Leviticus or Leviticus and, well, mainly Leviticus. I can't go back to Leviticus and read through that and think I'm going to fulfill the law and be able to be saved. The Jews could not do that. And they lived in it, and their requirement was to live by the law. Abraham figured that out, didn't it? How was Abraham saved? By the law? By grace, wasn't it? By faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Did he know Jesus Christ at that point in time? No, he did not know that name. But he knew who he was. He was saved. It was reckoned to him, or is accounted to him as righteousness because of his faith. It was put on his account. So that we can see an example from way back. And we can go to Hebrews chapter 11 and we can see the chapter of the faith chapter and all of these people in the Old Testament, how they were saved by faith and not by works. We can't be good enough. We can't do what the law requires. And a lot of the law had nothing to do with the Gentiles. But we want to make it sometimes. Well, that's to do with all of us today. No, it was the Jewish people at that time. Now, there was the moral law, you know, and different aspects of law that carried over, you know, that God brought, you know, into the Old Testament, you know, that we read today. You know, they were there to help guide us. Thou shalt not murder is the same in the Old Testament as in the New Testament. Why? Because it is a moral law. We want to read and we want to put the ceremonial law upon us. Well, you got to live by the ceremonial law.
And I think I mentioned this last week or the week before. Who in here likes catfish? I ain't going to raise my hand because I don't. No one in here likes catfish? Yeah, catfish. Yeah, sorry. Fried catfish. Sorry. I guess you missed the boat. Because that was one of the laws, the ceremonial laws that you couldn't do. But they want to hold us to certain ceremonial laws. People want to hold us up to saying that we have to abide by this one because that fits their lifestyle. Any guys had a haircut here lately? Anyone trimmed your beard here lately? Yeah. I did this morning in the shower. You know, I trimmed my beard a little bit. I missed the boat. You can't cut the sides of your beard. Look at here. Jesse done cut it all off. Cut it all off. Man, we want to hold people to the law, but we don't want to be held to the law. Man, and God is not holding us to the law. He is holding us to grace of what He has done. So there is a danger with mixed messages within this. So we need to be justified by faith in Galatians 2:16, not by the works of the law, faith in Christ and Christ alone. So we need to make sure that we're not adding something to salvation. Well, once you get cleaned up, you can come to church and be saved. No. That's adding to. Why don't we do this? Why don't we show them the grace and tell them about the grace of God? Let them be saved and let God do the cleaning up. I guarantee you, He can do a lot better job than what we can. I can tell you that. Let God work in their lives. And we need to also live out the truth. You know, Christ was crucified on the cross, and we live that life now. Man, Christ was crucified. In verse 20, let me get back to verse 20. I'm on the wrong page here. Verse 20, you know, it says, let me back up to verse 19. This is our memory verse, so remember this. For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, is not in the flesh, but in the Son of God. So we have this change in our life that because of we received Jesus Christ by grace, now we live a different life. We are no longer the same person who we once were. We are now children of God. Let me tell you this. A lot of you probably have the same thing. I expect more out of my kids than I do other parents' kids. Because my kids are held to a standard of our household. You look at someone else's kid and you say, boy, they should be doing something, but I don't go yank them up and whoop their tail. Do I? Might should, but I don't. Reagan, I ain't never whooped you. You better be quiet. So we look at our lives, and man, we should be held to a higher standard in our life. We should look different because we have been crucified with Christ, because we have received His grace. We have received that crucifixion, what He did for me and you. We have received it into our life, and now we are crucified with Christ because it was like we were hanging on that cross with Him. And He took the penalty and not us. So it changes our life. or it should change our life. But I would tell you, if you have true grace, it will change your life. It will transform you into a different person. So if you have accepted Christ and you have given your life to Him, you say, and nothing changed in your life, you better do a checkup from the heart up, because something got missed in there. Because grace will change you. And I'm not talking like the moment that you got saved that, man, all of your habits change, you know, but man, he's working on you. And He's changing you. And He's transforming you. And you should be more different today than you were yesterday. In 6 months from now, I lead someone to the Lord. In 6 months from now, I should see a change within their life. That they are not doing some of the things that they were beforehand. We should have a pursuit to consistency. Number three. A pursuit to consistency, aligning actions with beliefs. And we've kind of already went through some of this stuff already, but aligning our actions with our beliefs. In verse 21, he says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Christ did not die in vain, so we should align our actions, what we do, with our beliefs. And that's what he's telling Paul, or Paul's telling Peter in this situation. Why is your life not being aligned with what Christ has told you? If we are doing this, you know, we are rejecting grace for legalism. If we are saying that, you know, we're not aligning our lives with beliefs, we're rejecting grace. Because if you put anything on that top of grace, it's no longer grace. So what is grace? Grace is a free gift. What if you add something on top of it? You're working for it. What is it then? It's no longer grace. It's something that I did. And nothing I can do can save me. Christ did it all on the cross of Calvary. I just have to believe, trust in Him. Say, Lord, I trust in You for what You did. Because I can try my best. As I said earlier, I can try my best, but I'm going to fail. And I'll probably fail before I even get out of this building. I'll probably say something I shouldn't say. Or think something I shouldn't think. You know, our minds, you know, we are sinners, folks. But we should not reject the grace for legalism. Why would you ever want to go back and live in that? If you want to go live by the law, I mean, I guess that's your right. You can do that, but don't say it's grace. Don't say it's salvation. You're living by the law. But if you live by the law, you got to die by the law. So if you want to bring the law in and you want to say the law is something that I need to do, or legalism, you know, is something that I need to do, you know, then you're going to have to serve the consequences of that. I think I would rather live by grace. It's hard to live by a set of rules. It's hard. You got to do this, 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 and this, and you got to do it perfect. You cannot have a hiccup. You cannot miss a beat. You got to do this consistently, day after day after day. That is legalism, folks. And legalism is not welcome here at First Southern Baptist Church in Bearden. Grace is always welcome. We need to live by that. So we need to have this importance, you know, of integrity in our life, of knowing that we are saved by grace and showing it to other people in our words, and let our actions match up with our words. Because you want to, you know, talk out of both sides of your mouth, or you want to be misunderstood by people, don't let your actions line up with your words. Boy, I fail in that sometimes. Some kid, student may get on my nerves. Where's my teachers? And I might get on them a little harder than what I might have should have. You know, I have to go back and ask them and the Lord for forgiveness for that. Because God is doing something. And He's wanting us to encourage accountability to one another. And this is where we were talking about earlier in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 is restoring those caught in sin. And Peter was caught in sin. Because it is a sin to tell someone that you are saved by grace plus something else. Because you are missing the mark that God has set, which is we are saved by grace and grace alone. And His words were not matching His actions. You know that's a sin? When our words don't match our actions. Because what is that called? Because what is our words? They're a lie, aren't they? So I wouldn't lie. If your actions are not matching your words, it was a lie that you told them. Folks, we need to make sure that we are restoring people who are caught in sin in love. So if I come to you, or if another brother or sister comes to you in love and says, hey, I've noticed some things. Man, I wish you would come back to the Lord and give Him things up. Don't get mad at them. Get right with the Lord. Now, I'm not talking legalism. Well, you're not doing, you know, you're not doing a certain thing. You know, you hadn't been circumcised, or you hadn't been something, you know, in your life. You know, so, you know, you need to come back to the Lord and do them things. No, man, come back. You see someone in sin, man, let's get them brought back in love. And this is called bearing one another's burdens, because what are you going to do? Man, you're going to pray for that person because you got a burden for them. And you got a burden for what they have going on in their life. And we want to draw close to the Lord, and we want them to draw close to the Lord. And they need your prayers. And God wants to do something in your life today. So what will you do with Jesus? Will you be consistent in your lifestyle? Will you be consistent in what God has called you to do in His Word to live out the grace that He has given us? Wants us to be different. Starting today. You may have walked the aisle, you may have been baptized, you may have come to church every Sunday, but you have never truly surrendered your life to Jesus Christ by recognizing His grace and allowing it to change in your life or change your life. You may need to repent and come back to Him. You may need to be saved this morning. I don't know what the Lord's calling you to do, but it don't matter what I think. It's what the Lord thinks, and what the Lord wants you to do, you should surrender. Because I know what it is to run from the Lord. It's difficult. Man, I tell you, it's hard. It's hard work. It's stressful to run from the Lord whenever He's calling you to do something. So what do we have the Old Testament for? To see the mistakes that they made so we don't make the same mistakes. I will tell you, my mistake is I ran from the Lord for 5 years for salvation. And I could have died and went to hell at any time. But the Lord had mercy and grace on me. And he allowed me to live. For me to give my life to him. Have you truly given your life to Jesus Christ this morning? Or have you slipped away? Have you backslidden? And that is a biblical term. You know, that you have drifted away from Christ. You know, a pastor that I had in seminary, or one of my professors, he's also the pastor, Dr. David Allen, he preached a sermon on the dangers of drifting. And I will always remember that. And us living so close to the Ouachita River, I can, you know, we can really imagine that. If you're out on a boat and you're sitting there fishing, and I always think of the Artesian Well. Who in here knows where the Artesian Well is? Some of y'all don't even know what that is. Either. Some of you do. The Artesian Well on the Ouachita River out of Sparkman, between Sparkman and Ouachita, over in that area. You know that it's some eddy water there, some water that doesn't look like it's moving. It looks like it's still there. That's how it used to. I ain't been out there in a long time. But you go out there and you go fishing. And you start on that one end, you're fishing and you're paying attention to what you're doing. You know, you're just fishing. Next thing you know, you've drifted down. And you look up like, how did I get down here? It's the dangers of drifting. You drift, even though you may think that everything's still, everything is not doing anything, or you're not doing anything. And we always say that if you're not growing closer to the Lord, you're falling back. You can't stand still with the Lord. You have to grow. Are you growing with the Lord this morning? Take time to be holy. Let's all stand as we have a prayer. Then we'll have a time of invitation. Lord, we just come humbly before your throne room, Lord, just thanking you for all that you have done for us, Lord. Lord, just let us receive your grace this morning and recognize how much that you love us, Lord, and that you, the sacrifice that you gave for us on the cross of Calvary, Lord. Lord, we just ask that if there's anyone here this morning, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would prick their heart, that they would come to know you as Lord and Savior this morning, Lord, because we are never promised tomorrow. Lord, and I'm going to just give it to you, Lord, and your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. What's the Lord wanting?